Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Reminder, Mark Schlereth wasn't the only awesome interview of the day here on the show. We get a lineman's perspective, which I like, because there's not a lot of those in the media. I feel like you get a lot of quarterbacks, but none as good as Brian Hoyer, who we'll talk to here at 4:30. Obviously, a lot of experience in the Josh McDaniels Patriots system, and we have an evolving analysis for Drake May. It was a lot of cheers and good stuff last week. We'll see where it is this week, but stick around. That's 4:30. But right now, it's 3 o'clock. That means it's time for the three-point stance.
Green 19!
Green
19!
Green 19!
Green 19!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
What's that?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you had the distinct pleasure of honoring Bill Parcells this weekend, you got to get Glassman. Call all 7s at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Hey, man, are you ready?
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun indeed. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, so I tweeted this out earlier, and there was some, you know, fun snark to it, whatever you call it, tongue-in-cheek on Twitter. But then I thought about it, and I was like, why not? It never hurts to ask, right? The only dumb question is the one you don't ask in this world. So, the Baltimore Ravens, they have a running back who is struggling with his ball security. He hasn't fumbled in one game or two games, but three games in a three-point stance to open the season. Yes, 30-plus-year-old Derrick Henry can't hold on to the football just a couple months after they gave him $30 million extension with $25 million guaranteed. He looks like he could use a change of scenery. Things just aren't working out this year in Baltimore. Patriots have a running back who just fumbled twice in one game, but that was only one game. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. How about you call the Ravens and say, hey, can I interest you in a much younger, cheaper, lightly used running back? A lot more tread on the tires. I'll take that contract and that King Henry off your hands. And oh, by the way, King Henry, who did he have his greatest success with as a coach? Oh, that would be Mike Vrabel, who would be his head coach here. I'm guessing they wouldn't take that. But what if you made that same call and said, can I interest you in a Travion Henderson, a second round running back, cheap money, explosive, put him in the backfield with Lamar Jackson? I'm just saying there's an opportunity here. Buy low on Derrick Henry. Bring him to New England.
Wow. The deal is one for one, I ask with a question mark at the end?
You know, we can negotiate. We can have calls. You know, phones work in two directions. I ask a question, you bring an answer. You ask a question, I bring an answer, kind of thing. Just saying, I think it puts it a little bit into perspective. We're freaking out about Ramondre Stevenson. We also think that Derrick Henry might be the best running back in football, one of the top three running backs in football.
Yeah, so why would you get...
He's fumbled three straight games. I think he's on the back nine. You might want to unload him, Baltimore. We're here to take him off your hands, baby. We'll make you an offer that you probably can refuse, but then we'll try with another offer and hope you don't refuse that one.
Oh, twist our arm and sweeten it fine. We'll throw in Pop Douglas, too.
Would you trade Fitzy? You are the biggest Travion Henderson fan on the planet. Would you trade Travion Henderson for Derrick Henry right now?
No.
Really?
No, I would not. Are you going to get 2 years of Derrick Henry for the potential of somebody who could be a multi-dynamic threat for your offense that has yet to even find its footing in his rookie season? No.
That's Yellow Brick Road to Oz is paved with people with potential. I see a guy who is great on the other side. The good news is, too, he seems to fumble only in big games with the game on the line. Luckily, in New England.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, yeah.
Luckily, in New England, he probably won't play any big games with the game on the line for a couple of years. So, it came to me. We're freaking out about Ramondre Stevenson, and Derrick Henry is like...
So, let's bring in another guy that's fumbling.
Have you ever heard those change of scenery trades, Ted? You know, two guys, they're both struggling where they are.
It'll make all the difference in the world.
And he gets back with Vrabel, his guy.
Okay.
Vrabel's his guy.
Derrick Henry, running back, 31 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But he's a machine. He's not a regular 31-year-old. He's like 27 in Derrick Henry years or something. He's got a lot of tread left on the tire. Yes, Dan Ball.
You know what usually makes sense in a trade too is the
said he was on the back nine.
The fourth leading rusher in football for the 48th leading rusher in football. Those are deals that a lot of teams call even.
It's only up
one
from
for
here.
One for one.
It's only up from here. See, you're buying high on Derrick Henry. You're buying low on Ramondre Stevenson. They'll get a great deal. He'll be leading them. You don't think Ramondre Stevenson would be more productive if he got to go to the mesh point with Lamar Jackson? I think that would help him out a little bit.
Can I ask real quick, when you got your new truck a couple months ago...
Did I hit my head?
I was going to say, did they bargain with you or did you haggle with them so much they're like, fine, we'll take your deal, just get off the lot?
Yeah, they gave me... No, I didn't get a great deal. I just needed a truck. I wanted a truck. I moved on.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you're telling me we're not going to get Derrick Henry?
No, but I like the creative problem solving, and I think that the idea of let's make a move for a running back is something that you should be exploring.
Did I shoot a little high?
I would go, kind of, how shoot for the moon, if you miss, you land in the stars kind of thing. Shoot for a star.
Yeah. I was shooting for a star. His name's Derrick Henry. He's a superstar. I want him in the backfield.
But he fumbles all the time, so he's a depreciating asset, just what the Patriots need.
Yeah, we'll fix that up here in New England.
All right, there you go.
I tried. I was trying to find a running back.
You found one. You found a hell of a running back, one of the best that we've seen of a generation. I would just shoot a little lower than that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be 17 guys that will ultimately fill in for Christian McCaffrey over the course of the next year. They end up going on to wonderful careers elsewhere after they fill in for him. Just pick up one of those guys.
You want a do-over? Do you want to another 3-point?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Are you offering him a 3-point mulligan? I love it.
I want Derrick Henry.
Were you thinking about this all morning long?
I did tweet it early this morning, and then I was thinking, why not?
Okay.
There's no dumb questions.
Third time was the charm. Third time was the charm, because you tweeted it, and then people probably went after you. Then you ran it by me, and I went after you, and you said, you know what? Let's throw it out there to the audience. This will stick.
Genius truly does walk alone.
Apparently. Yes.
And it tweets alone, too.
Here's a side question before we move on. And, Ted, I want to hear from you. Do you think that there's a realistic possibility that the Patriots add a running back, maybe not even ahead of this week, but in the weeks to come based on the state of the position, or are they running with this group?
I think, by all indication, is that they're going to love the ones they're with. And that's to me, a little bit disconcerting. You know, you kind of – You thought maybe after 2 weeks that maybe they would bring in kickers to try out. You would think that they would maybe bring in running backs to try out, just to kind of put a little fire under these guys, just to show a little bit to them that, hey, this is a culture of accountability. I'm trying to establish a culture here. And guys, you cannot just continually make mistakes and expect to go out there and play. And so I would like them to do that, Daniel, but I don't think the way Mike's talking is if that's even on the table.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. By the way, some quick live reactions, 508, I'll have what Hart is smoking. Yeah. Maybe the dumbest take outside of Wiggy giving Cam $30 million on the station, which is a good point. We are all now dumber after listening to that 3-point stance from the 603.
You went to Tufts. You know how hard it is to get into Tufts?
No, I know. I've heard. Yeah. Time and time again.
You went to Tufts College.
You have to be creative. You can't be afraid to spitball.
Creative?
I am an idea man. Not all ideas are home runs. Let's go to Rick in Plymouth. I just, while we're reading the text line and all the reactions on YouTube, why don't we get a live reaction? I'm sure this is not going to go well for me, but Rick in Plymouth, what are your thoughts?
I almost went off the road when I heard that. Are you kidding me? You want to trade Trevion Henderson, who's probably one of the future running, the future of the running backs on this team, for an aging, overpriced running back that still can't hang on to the football? I mean, what are you running the Bruins now or something? Don Sweeney wouldn't make that deal.
That's a good line, Rick. Thanks for the call.
I love that Rick just felt so compelled to call in. You know, it just fired him up. Probably what's gotten Rick excited, these days? Yep. Probably not much, but that.
You're welcome, Rick.
Take just
you are welcome. Glad I could help everybody out. Have a little more energy at their 3:10 coffee break.
I gotta say, honestly, like, I feel more emboldened and empowered to just make my 3-point stances going forward more absurd after that. But so be careful what you wish for, Hart.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, one last chime in, and then can move on to Fitzy's. Somebody from the 207 requested this drop.
Give you my crap, and you give me your best player.
He's not their best player. That's Lamar Jackson, so that doesn't even make sense, Stiz.
Yeah, he fumbles all the time. He basically sucks. All right, let's leave this one here. Fitzy, save us. Are you ready?
Yes, and mine does involve Derrick Henry to a degree, but I have couched mine in reality.
Oh, wow, what a refreshing stance. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you folks had a chance last night. You got a lot of things to get back to after a big, thorough, frustrating at times, Patriot-style Sunday fun day. But if you happen to have watched Monday Night Football, which many people, including the host of our show who wants to trade Derrick Henry for Ramondre Stevenson, Andy Hart, thought was going to be a lopsided affair, you were wrong and you missed an absolute dandy. Because last night, the Detroit Lions, embattled after losing both of their coordinators, their vaunted coordinators to head coaching jobs this year, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, drove into Baltimore last night, a very hostile place to play, and played the kind of football, the style of football, I think any coach, any analyst, any fan, any child, anybody would be proud of and want their team to play. They kicked ass. They moved the Baltimore Lions off the ball time and again. They went into a tough house with a tough-ass football team, and they were the toughest team and the toughest people out there on the field last night. It was awesome. It was so Dan Campbell, Jeremy, I couldn't stand it. It was just such an awesome, awesome, awesome affair to witness. The play calling by John Morton, who filled in for Ben Johnson, was great. Kelvin Shepard, the emoting he did on the sidelines, the hugging, the high-fiving he did, absolutely spectacular. I said back in 2021, after the Lions draft, the Patriots needed to use them as a North Star. Watching that game last night, hey, Patriots, that's the kind of football you need to be playing.
Yeah, you also need that kind of talent, too.
But I said back in 2021, the Lions had like the best draft, getting Penei Sewell, getting Amon-Ra St. Brown, getting linemen. Like they had an awesome draft, and that was the base that they set to grow out of the basement to become relevant.
Those are great moves. But I think Jared Goff was the key.
Jared Goff proving he's not just Ben Johnson's puppet
or
whatever.
You hate Jared Goff more than you hate traffic.
I do not like Jared Goff. Also,
he's
Ted.
I didn't like him either, but he's grown on me. He's starting to become.
The results have to grow on you. Like, sooner or later, when you see him succeeding, you have to say, maybe I need to give him a second chance. Mine was going back to the Patriots Super Bowl. He fell down next to Kyle Van Noy, buzzed his tower, and he fell to his knees. I thought he was the biggest loser on the planet.
Yeah, then he was.
I was also just thinking, Ted, you gave me the opportunity for a redo. I'm not going to take it, but listening to Fitzy talk about the Lions, that's a team that has two running backs that shares the load. Jameer Gibbs would look good in a Patriots uniform.
Jameer Gibbs for Antonio Gibson. Let's see if they'll take it.
Also, I do a quick apology to, I thought Dan Campbell might fall on his face this year, get exposed. The opposite has happened. Dan Campbell has the Lions among the best teams in football without coordinators.
I'm surprised they've lost a game playing that way. I mean, there's some odd things. I mean, Green Bay lost to the Browns, which is crazy. But
I know.
My comeback player of the year,
Hutch.
Yeah, my guy that I picked, Aiden Hutchinson's, that's looking pretty good right now. The guy's an animal.
He is an animal. But that's what I mean. That's where that's a talented football team with an aggressive coach who built a culture and built a style of play and confidence and accountability and all those things. And
guys love playing for you can just tell.
And then you look at the other side, and the Ravens, I believe they set a record for most points scored through 3 weeks by a team with a losing record. They've scored like 111 points, and they're 1-2 right now.
How's that defense? Yikes.
Not great.
But Swiss also, cheese. like, Like, one of the things people were concerned about, guys, in addition to the loss of the coordinators, and again, I cannot stress enough how fun it was to watch Kelvin Shepard out there ready to go run through a brick wall himself. The Lions were the tougher, more aggressive team. Yeah, but they also lost their starting center. Frank Ragnow was the best center in football. And the interior of the line, people thought would implode on the Lions. And instead, through the draft and free agency, they found a way to rebuild the offensive line. And look at the way that they just blew through the Baltimore Ravens last night. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, that is my favorite 1-2 punch in football. Man.
Andy, which crap are we giving the Lions for Jahmyr Gibbs?
What do they need? Whatever they want. Actually, you can pick the roster. You can have, like, I'll do like a Breslau. I'll put like five guys aside and you can have anyone else on the roster kind of thing.
Perfect. There you go. Let's see. Marcus Bryant. I know he's up and coming. I'm trying to think of who's really useful for them. But
now it's gone. This has gone too far. Now you're being mean.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I'm the one with the stupid take today. All right, Ted, are you ready?
Okay. I am, but I want to ask the group here a question first. It's dealer's choice. Do you want me to talk about Drake May and compare him to other quarterbacks, or do you want to talk about one, DeMario Douglas and Efton Chisholm?
DeMario Douglas.
Okay.
Let's beat up on him.
Here we go.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, DeMario Douglas in this game was just not good. Not good. And the fact that they went to him on that fourth down play is amazing to me. Do you know who was out there in the field during that on that play? You had Hunter Henry. You had Steph Diggs, you had Kayshon Booty, you had Travion Henderson. All those guys have way more production than DeMario Douglas. DeMario Douglas is second to last on the team behind Antonio Gibson in catches. He's only got 5 catches for 13 yards, 2.3 yards per reception. Besides not running the route deep enough on that fourth down play, you heard Mark Schlereth did an excellent job of going through that interception before halftime where DeMario Douglas kind of got washed and knocked around, and so he didn't get to where he needed to go, and so the corner was never threatened in the flat, and so he could slough back and intercept the ball very, very easy. DeMario Douglas, to me, needs to take a seat. It is Efton Chisholm time. I want to see some crossing routes. I want to see some fight. DeMario Douglas goes down way too easy. He never breaks tackles. It's been a huge disappointment, and it's time to at least sit him down and give someone else a chance.
And I just want to piggyback on that a little bit. He also seemingly has the worst relationship with Drake May of anybody. They're never, like, in line. They're never, like,
targets,
rolling.
5 catches.
Yeah.
By far the worst completion percentage to that receiver. Yes.
And just like sometimes he's crossing and you're like, did he throw it behind him or was he supposed to sit down? Like, you're not even sure who you want to criticize. You just know for two guys that have been together for a year and a half now and knew that it was probably going to be a key relationship, there's no rapport there. They don't jive together very well.
They don't. And in that one, so he had two catches or one catch in the game. And remember he goes down so easy.
Oh yeah.
His knee, you blow on him and he goes down. So just not a very, I don't understand the fascination with him in this offense. I don't get it. You do not go to your least productive player in the biggest, most critical time of the game. And we'll talk more and more in TED Talk about that one particular play. There's a lot to analyze on that.
Yes, Dan Ball?
Ted, you were part of winning cultures in winning locker rooms with winning players, right?
I was, bub.
Does this answer sound like a guy who personifies that? Go ahead, Stiz.
It was a play. It wasn't designed for anything. It was just...
Did you think you were at the first down?
Not.
Or you didn't know where
I was somewhere by it. I know I was somewhere by it because we only had 2 yards.
So you knew you probably had to make a play, I'm guessing.
Yeah, fact.
It was a play with a chuckle at the end. Is that what you'd want to hear?
The giggle is just unacceptable.
Well,
you
listen to that answer. You know what it sounded like. Like, just he didn't know what to say. Like,
right.
He didn't realize, oh, guys, people are going to come to my locker room and ask me questions about that play? I'm taking off, I'm taken by surprise. He's got to know he's going to be asked about that, and that's the answer he gives. That's a non-answer. That's a terrible answer.
And if I'm Josh McDaniels, who we'll talk to on Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, So my slot receiver is saying, well, it's a play. It's not really designed for anything.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels has to, like, want to rip out his hair. You know how much time Josh McDaniels spent?
Yes.
He spends his whole life trying to design plays for situations and defenses and adjustments. And one of his supposed key receivers is like, it's just a play. It's not really designed for anything.
And this is a reoccurring problem. Last year, there was a game in which DeMario Douglas was short of the sticks on an important time in the game. And was partly, the reason why they lost that game last year.
Worst instincts or football IQ, awareness. I don't know what you want to call it, but whatever it is, it's bad with him. It is very bad. And that's why I know a lot of people are on the Efton Chisholm train. I'm not so much on the Efton Chisholm train as I am move on from Pop Douglas. Like, give somebody else a shot. Yeah. Just like it's about getting him away.
Well, if you get rid of him, who's going to fill in? And I think you got a guy ready to go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Anyone know where Kyle Williams has been hanging out? Anyone heard from him at all?
He had a catch the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little nice 8-yard out.
He should get some opportunities moving forward, hopefully, as he builds a rapport with Drake May that looks better than the rapport that is lacking between Drake May and Pop Douglas. All right, that's going to do it for the 3-point stances. It's funny. We bullied one host, and we just kind of talked about the points that the other two made. Don't know. That doesn't go unnoticed from some people here. We bullied somebody today. That's hurtful.
Well, one of them earned it today.
What's that about the truth?
It's true. 617-779-7937.
My man.
If you want to react to the three-point stances, you want to bully me for my thoughts on trading for, Derrick Henry, King Henry, the one of the best running backs in the NFL to help fill a need. Coming up here on
three fumbles.
He does. Three fumbles. Three straight games with fumbles for Derrick Henry, so he might be available. Don't mock me. I heard the tone. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for a TED Talk. Ted has lots of thoughts. I can tell you, I was looking through his notes. There's page after page after page of frustration and reaction to the Patriots' turnover-filled loss to the Steelers. We'll talk about that next. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox open up a 3-game series on the road against the Blue Jays. First pitch of game one is tonight at 7:07. Lucas Giolito is on the mound for the Sox opposite Kevin Gausman. Here is your lineup for tonight as Jarren Duran leads off. He's in left. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third with Masataka Yoshida, your DH. Romy Gonzalez at second. Seidon Rafaela up to sixth in the lineup. He's in center with Nathaniel Lowe at first. Willy Abreu out in right, and Carlos Narvaez is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:07, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. Garrett Crochet goes for the Sox tomorrow with Brian Baio slated to start on Thursday. Also new within the afternoon from ESPN's Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in the 2026 season after the league's competition committee voted to usher in the era of robot umpiring. Patriots players are off today. New England hosts the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both teams are 1-2. The Panthers beat the Falcons 30-0 this weekend to pick up their first win of the year. From around the league, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL in his right knee. Chargers running back Najee Harris is also done for the year as he suffered a season-ending Achilles tear. The Giants are planning to bench quarterback Russell Wilson in favor of first-round rookie Jackson Dart after 3 games. And Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks with a strained left hamstring. And finally, the Bruins return to the ice for their second preseason game tonight. They visit the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Brandon Echols makes a phenomenal play. He comes off of his coverage and comes down and actually jumps to make the tackle. But DeMario Douglas should have run one more revolution, so he's past the first down marker. So that when he catches the ball, he doesn't have to worry about juking or knifing or any of that stuff. So to me, there was a breakdown in protection and a breakdown in the route running fill, and that's what cost him this game.
We got a little sampler there from Ted Johnson post-game, NBC Sports Boston.
That was the breakdown, actually.
Oh, that was the breakdown.
Yeah, last night with Phil Perry every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Check us out.
Could sense the or hear the frustration in your voice, the annoyance at bad football.
Ooh, there was a lot to talk about just in that one play. It was fourth and 1.5 is what it was. Yep. It was a long one. They had it down as a fourth and one. It was really fourth and 1.5, and that's – it was fourth and one, I think they would have been under center, and it was a different play, but it was a yard and a half, and so they're in shotgun, and that was just, and they executed the play poorly.
Well, you got a lot to say about that play and others. Luckily, you have a pulpit to talk from. It's called TED Talk.
It's time for a TED Talk.
There's a football player that Ted Johnson.
Yeah. Smacked down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Stories from on and off the field from three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson scrapes right into Jerome Bettis' face and puts him on his back.
This guy is going to be one of the best inside linebackers in football.
On WEEI Afternoons.
And as always, TED Talk is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. If joint pain has you riding the bench, do what Ted did. Eliminate your joint pain with Dr. Franke of Boston Prolotherapy. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. So, Ted, I think a great place to start would be the start. Patriots win the toss, they take the ball, and they should be rolling, right? Fast start. How'd that work out for you?
Not good. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, just a terrible, terrible start to this game. Obviously, the week before, they got off to a 14-0 start. And this week, they spotted the Steelers 14 points. But in their first drive, second and six, sack. Just you got to be kidding me. And then they get an automatic first down on the next play, and from because of the defensive penalty. And what do they do on that with that first and 10? They fumble the ball. So on the third play of the game, they fumble the ball over to the Steelers. Now on the Steelers' first possession, what happens on the first play of the Steelers' first possession? Offsides. Clavion chasing offsides. And then Steelers go on an 8-play, 54-yard drive, almost 5 minutes to get their first touchdown. And then the very next second possession, the Patriots, they go 6 plays and punt. And then the Steelers, on their second possession, after the punt, they get 12 plays, 90 yards, 6 minutes, 23 seconds, and a touchdown. Patriots giving up touchdown drives on the first two possessions. That's not what you're looking for. You can't put yourself in a hole. And it was interesting to me to hear Mike talk about how the defense played well, except for the last drive. So the first two drives of the game, they put up touchdowns. And the last drive, the most important drive, it doesn't matter what you did in between, is the most important. And so the defense, to me right now, is kind of a big story. They rank 28th in DVOA. Who would have ever thought going into the season that the offense would be outperforming the defense? The offense is ranked 19th in DVOA. So it's far and away the better unit than the defense is, which is kind of mind-boggling when you think about it.
Not sure it's something to brag about at being 19th. You'd like to be a little higher, but you're right. It's ahead of the defense. And exacerbating the bad start was the part that they took the ball.
You don't see that too often in football now. It's defer. You take the ball unless you really want to start fast.
You do that because you're like you're flexing your offense.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? We're going to put our best unit out there, and we're going to go down. In the third play, you fumble. Spit the seed, baby.
And there was also, correct me if I'm wrong, Ted Johnson, you got all the notes. Didn't Drake May try to throw an interception there? Didn't he hit the guy in the hands?
That was in there as well.
Yeah.
I didn't put that in there.
I mean, that was a horrific start. Speaking of horrific starts, year over year, something Fitzy and I talked about early on, sort of the start to last year, the start to this year, the Gerard Mayo error a year ago, and now it's Mike Vrabel. Everything's fixed, right? Through three games, how are we feeling about the comparison year over year?
Oof. Okay. So let's do a little.
Is that an oof?
A little comparison. All right.
That was an oof.
That was an oof.
Let's just put it through the first three games last year. Let's give you some bad football stats, if you will. Last year, under Gerard Mayo, in the first three games, the Patriots had one turnover, 13 penalties, and 11 sacks. Okay. Mm. That's the first three games for Gerard Mayo.
Not bad.
Not bad. What is this year's Patriots doing through the first three games, comparatively speaking?
Uh-oh.
They have 6 turnovers, 27 penalties, and 13 sacks. So they're much higher in turnovers, much higher in penalties, and just a little bit higher in the sacks. And then I'm on pace guy. I love to do the on pace.
Oh, nice.
So the Patriots are on pace to have 153 penalties, which would be by far the most. They're on pace to have 51 turnovers and 68 sacks.
Yeah, that sounds like losing football.
That's you're picking first overall football. Hmm. That's what that is. Yeah. The average team, just so people know, the average team probably gets anywhere from 3 to 3.5 penalties a game. And right now the Patriots are averaging 9 penalties a game. The average team has 1.8 to 2 turnovers per game, and the Patriots are over that. And the average team allows 34 to 42 sacks a season.
Huh.
So they would be way over what the average is in all those categories.
Who do we usually blame when a team is that sloppy and undisciplined?
It's I hate to say it, man, because that's my guy, but you blame it on the coaching staff. That's what you usually blame sloppy for. The players jump offside. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get you. But you know what you do? You get somebody else in there, or you do something to get the attention of the player that is making the mistakes. That's kind of the big story right now, is how is Mike going to get these guys to stop making mistakes? Is it going to be take away? I think some of the most powerful tools to get someone's attention is to take reps away. That, to me, will get most guys' attention. But can you cut off your nose to spite your face? And that's the question he's dealing with.
So you mentioned in there the comparison year over year, the penalties and the turnovers, but you don't think all penalties and turnovers are created alike. Is that accurate?
They are not. They definitely are not. So, look, it was the penalties were killers. They only had 7. Yeah, but let's go a deeper dive into those penalties. There were 2 penalties that the Patriots defense had on third down, both of them by Alex Austin, that led to extended drives that ultimately led to 2 touchdowns. That's 14 points off of turnovers right there. Pittsburgh had, 7 points had 7 points off of turnovers. So 2 penalties and a turnover was basically, there's your 21 points. That the Patriots turned the ball over once, right? Intercepted Aaron Rodgers, 0 points off of that. And then the killer is the 2 turnovers inside the 5-yard line. I mean, that's basically 14 points you just blew right there. And I think what the killer is too is before halftime they go 92 yards, 17 plays, just to throw an interception. It's a huge momentum killer right there. And then after an interception, to start the third quarter, Antonio Gibson fumbles on the second play. So there's like these different momentum points in the game that you got to capitalize on that they were unable to do.
Fitzy, I believe Mike Vrabel refers to that as bleep that'll get you beat, summarized there.
Yeah, and there was a lot of bleep that got him beat time and time. You know, Ted, we went back and forth on the postgame show and continued yesterday with the notion that the Patriots could and should have easily won that game. by 10, 13, or 17 points. But then you think about all the bleep that got him beat. They could have just as easily lost by 17 points. They played so poorly.
No doubt. I mean, when that offense, I would be curious to know how many teams have won games with only 203 total yards of offense like the Steelers did. And by the way, Pro Football Focus's worst grade for any offensive player for the Steelers. Can you guess who that was?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
The lowest grade, man. And you still lost.
All right, last one here in this first segment of TED Talk, breaking down all that went wrong in the Patriots' loss to the Steelers. Running back production. I believe Rich Keefe wanted to nickname the backfield. We were so excited about Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson. He was going to be the offensive rookie of the year, and Antonio Gibson was going to be like a classic third down back or change of pace. How's that working out so far?
Not good.
I love the Ted Johnson noises.
So the running back production from last week to this week. Last week versus the Dolphins, the running backs had 19 carries for 91 yards, 4.2. And then they also had, in receiving yards, they had 8 catches for 119 yards. So 211 of the 333 total yards last week versus the Dolphins were all basically because of the running backs. So 2/3 of the offensive production last week were all because of the running backs. This week versus the Steelers, the running backs had 22 carries for 74 yards, 0 touchdowns, and only 6 catches for 57 yards. You had the running back giving up, I think, another sack again, Travion Henderson. Mm-hmm. And so just amazing. And I was a week ago, I was saying that the running back position was, and then obviously 2-3 fumbles from the running back position this week. So the running back position, I said last week, was probably your best position group. And then what do they do to reward my positivity? They go out and just poop the bed, man.
All right. Hey,
I just wanted to ask Ted. Sorry, Andy, real quick. Ted, does it bother you as much as it bothers me that the leading rusher on the Patriots is Drake May with 87 yards?
That's I heard you say that, and I was like, that scares me because this is supposed to be a run first team.
Yeah. Well, Drake May is supposed to be one of your best players, and Ramondre Stevenson is supposed to be one of your best players. Oh, we'll touch on those two up next here as TED Talk rolls along here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Reminder that Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. All right, we teased it, TED Talk. We now need to touch on the guys that are supposed to be the two best players on the Patriots offense. That would be the quarterback and the running back, Ramondre Stevenson. Together, they combined four turnovers, Ted Johnson.
It is kind of startling when you really look at it, these two players who touch the ball more than anybody else on offense, the quarterback and the running back. That's, of course, Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson. And if you look at their production in the last 2 years, get this, Drake May, the last two seasons, he has 12 interceptions and 7 fumbles. Mm-hmm. He's played in 13 games of going back to last year. He's averaging 1.5 turnovers a game. So put 1.5 down if you're going to do the math there. And Ramondre Stevenson, the last 2 years, he's got 9 fumbles in 18 games. That's an average of half a turnover a game. If you combine the two,
I see where this
Drake
is going.
May and Ramondre Stevenson, they average two turnovers a game.
That's not cool. God.
The quarterback and the running back combined for two turnovers every game they have played in the last 2 years.
But I would agree with Mike Vrabel, and he didn't say it about Drake May, but when he said post-game, we need Ramondre Stevenson, he was being honest. You need him. You need the guy that was in Miami. You win the game in Miami because Ramondre Stevenson is on your team. That catch he made, the 88 yards receiving, the whole thing, right? You need him.
Well, it's weird. Since when does any NFL team need their running back? Like, when does running backs become so invaluable that you'll let them just make all the mistakes in the world and keep putting them out there?
Well, I mean, we've had the renaissance or the resurgence with, you know, Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay, Saquon goes to Philly, even Christian McCaffrey blowing up, Derrick Henry blowing up in Baltimore. Those are now the difference is Ramondre has never consistently produced the way those guys have. Those guys, I mean, Josh Jacobs led the NFL in rushing.
You can understand why Derrick Henry is going to be starting the game next week.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not Ramondre, Derrick Henry, not quite the same.
But for the Patriots, they don't really have another option. Oh, Travion Henderson, you might say. Well, Travion Henderson had 11 carries last week for 2.5 yards per carry and didn't look comfortable to me. I don't know whether he was running scared, looking for the big play. He's also a guy that has shared the load in his college career. I don't know if he's even capable of being a lead back. Oh, so you say Antonio Gibson. And
he's been terrible in pass protection,
which
too is
supposedly his strength. Funny how that works.
Right.
And then Antonio Gibson, everybody said, well, put Gibson out there.
Well
he fumbled.
One fumble.
And guess what he did in Washington? Lost his job with the Commanders because he had a fumbling problem. I believe he had 6 fumbles in 1 year in Washington. And he's a former wide receiver. I'm not even really sure he's a running back that you can say, yeah, we're going to lean on him to have 15, 18, 20 touches a game. And that's where I think Vrabel was being quite honest. We need Ramondre Stevenson. We're not built right now to bench Ramondre Stevenson.
Where are you going to go get a running back that's better than Ramondre Stevenson?
I'm glad
right
you
now?
Asked. Yeah. Baltimore.
Oh, for God's sake.
The Ravens have a guy that might be available with a fumbling problem.
I walked right into that.
All right, so Drake May is one of those issues right there. Turnovers, your best player.
Yep.
Ted Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Drake May by comparison. I think you have some quarterback comparisons you'd like to share regarding Drake May.
Well, I think it's interesting to when we're looking at Drake May and trying to figure out where he's going, what is he right now. I think it would be fair to compare him to maybe some other quarterbacks that were drafted high and high expectations when they came into the league, and what are they doing now? Let's just start with the one that he gets compared to the most, Josh Allen.
Let's do it.
All right. So Josh Allen, through his first 2 seasons, this was his stat line, 30 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, 22 fumbles.
Damn.
He totaled 43 turnovers, Josh Allen did, in his first 2 years.
Yikes. Even Jameis Winston's like, that's a lot.
Right? Right? So just to give it a little bit of perspective, so that's Josh Allen. If you look at Sam Darnold, who's on his 5th team.
Wow.
He's led the Seahawks to a 2-1 record in completing 70% of his passes. If you look at Mac Jones, who's on his 3rd team.
Oh, no.
2-0 as a starter and had the game-winning drive to set up their win last week. Was it against the Saints, I think? If we look at Baker Mayfield on his 4th team, he's been in Tampa for 4 years and has a 22-15 record. If you look at Jared Goff, who's on his 2nd team, and you know Jared Goff's career was not great, even though he got to a Super Bowl there in Los Angeles. Right now, for the Detroit Lions, since he's been there, he has a 43-28 record, and he's 2-2 in playoffs. And then just a couple more, real quick. Justin Herbert did not get off to a best start in his career. Look at him now; he's led the Chargers to a 3-0 record with 6 touchdowns and just 1 interception. And then, last but not least, how about Daniel Jones on his 2nd team? 71% completion percentage, a 9.3 average per pass, no interceptions, and a 3-0 record for the Colts. The point is, got to have patience with Drake May.
Yeah, I don't want Drake May to be Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. You know why? Because all those guys got good somewhere else. I need him to be Allen or Herbert or the guys.
Josh Allen is the one that, there you go.
Figure it out where you are. Yep. You're drafted to be that. And finally here on TED Talk, I got to give you your chance. Robert Spillane, finally, are we getting the Robert Spillane, who's actually, you know, maybe a tackle machine and the guy that they brought in to be an athletic difference maker in the middle of the defense?
Robert Spillane had, he's been listening the last couple weeks, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to shove it right up Johnson's keister, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to play with my hair on fire. He was a man possessed, 15 tackles, a tackle for a loss, one pass defense, and one interception. I thought Robert Spillane was the best player on the field for either defense in that game, and I give him a lot of credit because he's gotten off to a rough start in those first two games, and he made every tackle he could have made in that game. I was impressed.
Not true.
There was one he missed.
The Warren one.
In the open
field.
They
did exactly what you wanted. Yep. They had Woodson, yep, and they had Spillane.
You're right.
You said you want two guys on a running back, and you had two guys, and Spillane missed the tackle.
That was crazy.
It was one.
That was crazy.
All right, one play.
See, I'm using your own words against you there.
Damn it, bro.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoon, speaking of Ted Johnson's words, he was part of the induction ceremonies this weekend at Gillette Stadium, the hall at Patriot Place. Julian Edelman went in, Bill Parcells went in, Ted Johnson was part of it all. He'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.